Okay, cool. Let's get this
that
started.
Lady first. Always scares me.
Yeah, there you go. Well, for folks who aren't going to tune in live, we've got a couple of participants on the Zoom, but welcome to the preseason podcast for season 10 of The Sim. Some ground rules first. If you're in the Zoom, please change your name so folks know who you're the head coach of. I'm going to try to keep this moving to get as many, but also want to get as many coaches involved who are interested in participating. So if you want to chime in throughout, feel free. I've got some speaking notes across the board. Still be hearing my voice a lot, but hopefully not too terribly much. With that being said, let's keep going. A big nod to OSU's head coach, Joe. He started this tradition of podcasting for the community. I'm glad that we've been able to not only keep it going while he's gotten busier in life, but also evolve it. And for as long as the Sim goes, I think we all want to keep evolving it. So please continue to share your feedback with myself and the others who try to contribute to this a couple of times this season. Also, a big thank you to Michigan State's head coach, who I know is on the call, for his amazing spike guide and for helping me with some of this. Having that data up front and early was invaluable. Also, a thank you to Minnesota's head coach for allowing me to leverage his graphics package so I could make this look a little bit more like the season guides. Apologies, this deck is very crude, but like many of you, I've got a full-time job, so trying to cobble this together in my free time. But with that being said, let's get to the next, to the meat of this whole thing. So season 9 recap, if you recall, Missouri unexpectedly emerged out of that vaunted region of death, partly due to Arizona getting upset in the first round by George Mason. Monmouth made a run to the Elite Eight, which I believe was the most success they've had in the postseason. My Lafayette Leopards busted out in the second round against Loyola Marymount. In the Final Four, Washington beat Butler, Missouri beat Indiana, and then Missouri wins the title 63-60 in a slugfest. As we look ahead to season 10, there are some teams on here we'll probably hear from again who made strong showings in season 9. Teams like UNLV and Kansas, who made the Elite Eight, Delaware State, who's on this call, who made the most out of finally getting to the big dance and almost made it to the Final Four. And of course, Washington and Missouri themselves. Washington in particular, who brings back 6 seniors and is the 6th best team in the nation. Also, congrats in the NIT bracket to Seton Hall, but also generally the Big East, as we had an all Big East final, as Creighton was the losing team in that final. All right, season 10 storylines. And I was speaking about this to myself before I realized I was on mute, so hopefully you all can hear me. So first things first, who will the underachievers be? If you recall the last 2 seasons with St. Joe's, we've seen them once squeak into the tourney after having a top 10 roster, only to make an Elite Eight run. Then they missed the tourney entirely in season 9, despite having a top 20 roster. In season 9, Arizona was by far the best rated team in the Sim. I think they were almost a good 1.5 roster rating points on average than the second best team in the Sim, and they busted out in the first round against Mason. So a lot to watch here, and invariably there are going to be some underachievers in S10. Will any mid-majors emerge? So we're 9 season in, and I haven't seen a champion out of one of the traditional major conferences yet. UNLV and Lafayette have top 10 rosters. UNLV is actually the 3rd best roster in the Sim. But beyond that, you're going to have teams like Miami of Ohio, Hofstra, Fresno, St. Joe's, Green Bay, Delaware State, Illinois State, SEMO, and many more, all of whom have top 40-ish rosters and will want to make a lot of noise this season. Speaking of a lot of those teams, the depth of the Sim just seems really interesting to me. There are 45 rosters with an average roster rating over 14 compared to last season that was 40. It just seems incredibly deep this season. So looking forward to seeing how everything shakes out. And then, of course, every season, the postseason bans and the balancing act for top 25 teams. 10 out of the top 25 teams have 3 or more seniors, which leads to the existential question of what do you do to marry integrity with recruiting? And we'll find out a little bit later in this podcast who exactly has gotten banned and who might have taken those risks and didn't get away with it. Just checking with the folks on the call. Still hear me loud and clear before we start moving in?
Yep, you're good, Dave.
Okay, awesome. Appreciate it, guys. Oh, yeah, the last but certainly not least, rage quitting. I think we've already had a couple of people who may have even rage quit this year. All I'll say is hats off to Florida State's head coach. I don't know if Syracuse's coach is in or out or back in again. San Diego's coach sounds like he's out, even though he literally could just transfer to a P3 job since there are so many out there. I sort of understood Evansville since two seasons ago. They got screwed at the buzzer in recruiting and a few times with some of that stuff. So the rest of these coaches, I kind of don't get it. But we'll see who's next. It's invariably we'll have somebody rage quit throughout the year or at the end of this year too. Fun day to follow along on Discord. All right, season 10 promotion. So there are some big winners clearly on this list. And we saw this in the guide earlier, but a reminder here as well, as we talk through promotions, demotions, and then later when we talk about prestige, a reminder that each level corresponds to the number of teams being promoted and demoted. So as an example, only one team gets promoted to prestige one, only one team drops down from one to two, so on and so forth. So some of the big winners early, Washington, who we'll touch on later as well, but in a huge recruiting year for them, getting this bump is going to be helpful. Delaware State, who found a way to earn money in a low-level conference, and as we'll see later, is actually poised for even another jump in the sim in coming seasons. Quinnipiac and Penn, who also have huge recruiting seasons ahead of them, making that a bigger jump for them to go from the prestige 5-6 bracket to 1-4. And then, of course, there are the demotions. Boy, Iowa sticks out in terms of a program on the decline. I mean, I think they won the title before, and I don't think it was that long ago that they were a staple in the Final Four. So to see them fall this far is kind of wild, and I don't think they've seen the bottom yet. Texas Tech, who needs to fill four spots on the roster this season and just got dumped to Prestige 5. And then Miami of Florida in the same boat basically as Texas Tech, but only dropping to Prestige 4. But yeah, here we see the breakdown. And again, like I said, the bottom has not been reached for a handful of these programs, as we'll touch on a little bit later. Speaking of recruiting, so try to do a breakdown of recruiting previews per region and per prestige bracket. So this is a pretty crude analysis of teams that basically have the most work ahead of them and what some of their stiffest competition will be on the recruiting trail this season. There might be a few errors, so apologies for doing that since this is pretty manual for me before realizing how much I could have tapped into the Spike guide. But this should be broken down in a couple of ways, basically by teams with three or more seniors, as well as their positions of need. So in the Midwest, everyone wants to talk about this being the most competitive area to recruit. I'll refrain from commenting there, but this season sure as heck looks challenging with top programs like MSU, Missouri, both Illinois and Illinois State, Valpo, et cetera. You've got six teams with four seniors to replace. So not only will it be competitive, but you might see some nuanced strategies in how they approach recruiting with that many roster spots to fill. In Prestige 5, SEMO and Milwaukee are also here, but also a hat nod to Drake, who I think has its best team in years. So good to see them back in the mix, but they'll need to replace three seniors on their roster. And then overall, we've got 13 teams out of Prestige 1 to 4 who are looking to recruit three or more players, and then six teams in Prestige 5 to 6. And like I said, folks, anyone who wants to jump in and comment on any of these slides, feel free to unmute yourself and jump on in. Going to the Northeast, this looks to be competitive as well, especially with both Penn and Quinnipiac both getting promotions to enter that Prestige 1 to 4 bracket. If you're wondering about Seton Hall, thinking they were all over recruiting last season, they were. They recruited three freshmen last season, so they'll look to have a really young team, but potentially an amazing roster come S11 and S12. In Prestige 5 to 6, it seems quite reasonable, especially for the Syracuses of the world. If that coach is listening, I'm assuming they went full dirty and they don't have very much competition ahead of them. So that road to the top might actually be a little more reasonable than it might appear, at least based on how that coach is reacting. So we'll see how that goes. But again, in terms of that breakdown, 12 teams in Prestige 1 to 4 who need to recruit three or more players. And then in Prestige 5 to 6, you've got eight teams. In the Southeast, all eyes are on some of the traditional powers here, especially an Ole Miss squad who, as we saw, might be on the verge of might be on the verge of a demotion. Clemson, I think, has a new coach and they'll have to hit the recruiting trail hard. In VMI, who's coming off a ban this postseason, are they going to consider it again, given they still have three roster spots to fill this upcoming recruiting season? And then Prestige 5, you got a few Discord stalwarts like Chattanooga who are in here and are hoping to have a banner year, but also need to replace a number of heads. Then Marshall, who again we'll touch on later, but has their best season since I can recall, but it's going to come at a cost, which is having to replace five people on their roster. And then total number of teams, 12 and 9 across three plus seniors in Prestige 1 and 4, 12 teams, and then 5 and 6, 9 teams. In the West, this might be a really competitive season after a number of ones where it felt like the getting was good if you were recruiting out West. Three top teams that have to replace way more than just three seniors, so that could be a bloodbath, even if there are less active coaches in the West than I think in other regions. Even in Prestige 5, you see a stalwart like Weber State who's primed for a big year but has to replace five guys. So that's going to be no easy feat as well. So we'll see what happens there. And then again, breakdown of Prestige and how many teams might be in the mix for a lot of recruits. All right, top teams with zero seniors and thus well-positioned for future season. So the caveat here, of course, as Monmouth knows, since he's on the call, doesn't include potential draft declarees, but as we know, teams can get ravaged by folks who leave early. But if you take a look at this list, there are some teams that stand out. UConn, we've talked about them so much in the past, but they've already got the second best team in the sim and could have the best team in history with all their players at medium and high loyalty and having no seniors this year. Kansas State, six juniors, no seniors, already the fourth best team in the sim, and most all their guys are medium high loyalty. Wake Forest, four juniors, only one player on the whole roster who's low loyalty. Florida State actually only has one junior. The rest are freshmen and sophomores, but one sophomore is low loyalty, so that could be a person who bolts, but they look like they're on the road to some real improvement over the next few seasons. Miami of Ohio, zero seniors, only four juniors, and they're already a top 20 team. Mississippi State, four juniors, only one loyalty player on their roster. And then Abilene Christian, who actually only has one junior and only one loyalty player. So their recruiting seems to have paid off big time, and I think we've all seen them be a lot more active in the Discord, I think, when that coach took over. And then randomly, Tulsa has three juniors and they're all high loyalty. We haven't heard from Tulsa in a while, it feels like. So it's interesting to see them on this list. And then of course we've got San Diego, who again, recently rage quit the sim, it seems like, but if they stick around, they might actually have a pipeline here, but I guess we may not ever find out if that coach could have taken them over the top. Top teams with one senior. So basically the criteria here is only having a senior, but also those rated 12 and up. So if you're on the Zoom and have a screen in front of you, you'll see a lot of really interesting teams. Radford's only got a senior. St. Mary's has one senior and seven sophomores. I mentioned San Diego. South Florida's got a ton of freshmen and sophomores. VCU only has one senior and they're already at 13.3 right now. Wagner's 12.1825. They lose one player, but could be primed for their best season next year. And then Xavier, who seems to be back up, down, and back again. They've got one junior. I think their only senior this year is their second worst player. So they seem like they might be making a comeback. Okay. But before I touch on the top 25, just a few notes for teams with only two seniors. There are a couple who stand out. Villanova's only got two seniors. Purdue, Wisconsin, UNC, Oregon, Arizona, UVA, Delaware State. So there's even further depth here beyond just those with zero or one senior. So a lot of teams that are primed to either stay at the top or get back to the top. Let's hit on the top 25 preseason. There is one error here. Missouri and Michigan are flipped. So Missouri is actually 16th, Michigan is 17th. There aren't as many mid-majors as we've seen in recent years. I think there are five teams in the Pac-12 that are on this list. It's really impossible to not see UNC on this list ever. And so, of course, you've got them slotted in at number 14, I believe. And then in the ACC in general, six teams out of the ACC. And the fact that UVA is the sixth best team here shows you how deep the conference is. But again, some familiar faces over the years and ones that we've seen perform well, but also some new ones and folks we haven't heard from in a while, like Miami of Ohio. So really excited to see how this shakes out before we see who the bands are.
Can I jump in here?
You got it. And can for the folks listening to the recording down the road, can you announce which coach you are?
This is Delaware State's head coach.
Awesome. So thanks for jumping on.
We have Hofs, excuse me, we have Hofstra at number 23. And then Delaware State, we were basically fifth among teams receiving votes. So effectively, unofficially, number 30 in the preseason top 25. So two Colonial Athletic Association teams in the top 30. Excuse me. Is this the year we finally get the two-bid CAA?
I think it very well might, and I probably shortchanged the CAA earlier in my commentary. But, yeah, there's Hofstra is squarely in the mix, and to your point, you're right on the fringe of the top 25. And as we've seen, Delaware State's not only no stranger to the polls, but to performing really, really well in the sim in general. But I know from later in the presentation, but has there ever been really a strong third team out of the CAA since you've been in the CAA Delaware State?
Not that I can think of. I mean, it's rare that there's even been a second. It's only since Hofstra came.
Yep. Yeah, you got it. So we'll see. It should be an interesting two-horse race. And Delaware State's team had such a better roster than most of its competition in the CAA last season. But this one seems to have leveled out a little bit. And Hofstra's been building towards S10, it looks like. So we'll be keeping eyes on that. And thanks, Delaware State, for jumping in here. Let's go to some of the most improved teams. So credit to those who either through transfers, recruiting, or development improved considerably. UConn went from a top 25 team to number 2. Oregon got back in the mix, as did FSU. Longwood, whose coach I think just said today is going full development, is on this list. So I think we'll expect to see his squad on here for quite some time. But again, interesting to see some of these strategies, but also some of the teams that have taken the proverbial leap, including a Penn team that's going to have its best team in years with a number of seniors as well. All right. This might be the moment that a handful of you have been waiting for. Season 10 postseason bans straight off the presses. Eli sent this over literally within the last hour or so. In fact, he said it so recently, I did not have time to properly format this slide, so it's going to look even worse than the other ones do. But let's get into the postseason bans. I believe there are 7 or 8 teams. First is Army, number 215 in terms of their preseason roster rating. 9.58 is their roster rating. They have one senior. I think I mentioned this in the season preview last year, but Army seemingly recruits really well, and I guess we just found out why, because they got busted. And their roster still is very mediocre. So maybe it'll pay off having probably a very dirty integrity level.
For that's what you get for giving every player free guns, just saying.
I'm not going to comment on that, but of course, because folks can jump off of mute, they're welcome to share their views on this. But again, Army, if you look at the history of the sim over the past 2 seasons, I don't know who their coach is. They've recruited really well. Or at least gotten a couple of really high-level recruits. But I think the roster management has been an issue, and now the ban is yet another issue. Second is Colorado State. They're number 198 in the sim. They only have one senior as well, so maybe off of some of their recent success moving to a smaller conference, they took the cheating route, and unfortunately they're going to pay the price in season 10. Louisiana, this is huge here, in my opinion. So first of all, they're 104th best team in the sim, 12.28. They have 3 seniors, but this is huge, as we'll see later. They were the preseason conference favorite. So this definitely opens the door for other teams, including folks like Louisiana Monroe, who have traditionally been at or near the top of the Sun Belt and are going to have one less team to be worried about when it comes to postseason playtime. Houston is the next team. You know, they're 291 in terms of their roster ranking. They only have 2 seniors. I mean, just good for whoever's coaching this team for even trying to climb the ladder, because I had no idea Houston even cared enough to cheat. So good on whoever's coaching them. Maybe they'll get back to the top of their conference at some point, but they've got a long way to go. And now we're going to get into some of the goods. SMU, the longtime sim coach in Discord, looking to make quick gains with a bit of a middling roster and a few seniors. Their roster rank is 127. They do have two seniors, like I said, but they will be on the sidelines when it comes to postseason play. So hopefully they'll hit the recruiting trail hard. I will caveat all this by saying we don't know what integrity rating these coaches put. Hopefully we'll find out after the fact when folks realize who's been banned, and I'd love to find out. But for the sake of assuming, you're just going to think that anybody on this list is at an integrity level of one or two, probably. But can't say that for certain, since we do have a history in the sim of integrity level three teams getting banned as well. Next team on the postseason ban list, Iona out of the Metro Athletic.
Yes.
I was waiting for the moment that Mama's coach would unmute. I figured this might be that time, but they have the 65th best roster in the sim at 13.23, arguably the biggest threat to Monmouth this season, and their season's sort of over before it begins. I guess they do have one senior, so it could pay off, but Monmouth, since you're on the call, any lasting thoughts here about Iona and what you just found out?
Yeah, when you start looking, since the new Iona coach has taken over, I believe it was three seasons ago, every season he's pulling big-time recruits, and there's no way, I mean, no disrespect to real New Rochelle or Sim New Rochelle, but anybody who's been to real or Sim West Long Branch knows that's the place to go as a recruit in the MAC. And if you want to go to a second destination in the MAC, it's probably Quinnipiac. It's definitely not Iona. So he's been dropping proverbial bags. And I'm not going to get into assault weapons that he's been giving, but he's probably been giving plenty. We know that the real Rick Pitino is there. So maybe the Sim Rick Pitino has been giving some of the women of the night, like the real Rick Pitino has been known to do. Not really sure what he's been doing, but if anyone deserves to be on this banned list, it is Iona. Music to my ears, and everyone rejoice. Iona will not be part of either of the postseason spectacles that the Sim gives. Hope that the whole thing burns down for Iona quickly.
I'd be very curious to know what the quality of the women of the night near Iona are, and if it was even worth going down that route. But yeah, this is huge for you, because I think they're pretty clearly the number two team in the MAC preseason. And again, we'll get into conference breakdowns later, but it also is kind of disappointing news for myself as a coach in the Northeast who's going to have to recruit this season, to know that Iona is going to have a bit of a competitive advantage like they used to.
So what's interesting is, I believe when I was looking on the Spike guide or the Growth guide, whichever guide has where you can format and drop down your level of development for the year, Iona looked like they were full development for next year. So maybe they were trying to skew themselves out of getting the ban, or just trying to mess with all of us with that. So it was interesting. I just went in before and put that I'll be full development this year, having just one senior. So, who knows? You can never really figure this out. Could you imagine if they were full development and then had this? I'm sure – maybe they were full development and full dirty. Who knows? But
I think it'll be an interesting data point for those of us in the sim who wonder, you know, what does recruiting look like when you're not just one development, one recruiting, or, you know, five development, five recruiting, whatever the case may be. This is an interesting one if we can actually do that calculus, and obviously can assume that they went full dirty because they're on this list.
Because they're always full dirty every single year. So, yeah.
Nice. Well, I'd say congratulations to Monmouth, but as we know, there's a lot of postseason craziness that happens out of all the mid-major conferences. So I know you're not counting your chickens before they come to roost, whatever that term is. I'm not from the South. I don't have chickens. Let's go to the next team, shall we?
We're the Hawks, not the chickens.
All right? The Hawks. Thanks for saving me from trying to use a really bad cliche joke. Appreciate that. Next team, and second to last team on this list, is Florida. There goes one top 40 team with only one senior, and they were the third best team preseason in the SEC. So again, 37th best roster in the country, 14.25. You had only one senior, and they get caught with a postseason ban. I don't know if there are any coaches, including Monmouth yourself, who have thoughts here if you're still on, but I mean, this is mildly shocking to me, just given their roster composition. And if that wasn't shocking,
our man strikes again. Just saying.
Yeah, again, I'm still processing this one after an hour of knowing that they were on this list. But yeah, again, 37th best team in the country, and you know, primed for postseason play. Over before it started. One more team remaining, and I don't know if you would have guessed it, but that team is Oregon. The 14th best team in the country with a 14.93 rating, but only two seniors. They had the third best roster in the Pac-12 going in. Yeah, just unreal to me that you got those last two teams on this list, but Oregon, who, you know, I was just thinking to myself before we even jumped on here, is a team we, I don't know if we've heard much from over the past couple seasons, but it's historically done very well in the sim. And again, maybe we found out why, but definitely not the season that they would have hoped to have gotten banned, since they had a legitimate title contender, or at the very least Final Four contender.
I'll just jump in real quick on Florida. It's quite interesting. Their second, third, fourth, and fifth best players are all high loyalty freshmen. And then they also have high, medium, and medium loyalty towards the end of their roster. So they were only slated to lose that one senior. So this is quite a puzzling decision. Probably everyone in Sim Gainesville should be going after the coach with a pitchfork, because it seems like he ruined them from what should have been a really great year for them and a setup for success going into next year as well.
Yeah, to your point, it's not as if they really protected their roster if their roster is already fairly protected to begin with. I mean, I know that they might not be UConn with, you know, seven or eight high loyalty guys, but they don't have a slew of low loyalty guys like some of the other folks in this, who are probably considering going dirty do. So this is, yeah, I don't say it's baffling. It's just you hope that someone knows one of these coaches and can tell you what integrity slider they put, because I'm highly curious what they actually selected and what the rationale was behind it.
Yeah. Hey, Dave, this is Purdue's coach Matt.
Hey, Matt.
To Monmouth's point, I agree at first glance, but I mean, you mentioned before that people have been dinged with a three for integrity. So this person might have gone three and then just gotten caught. I think back to a few years ago when Creighton was like a top five team, and they got dinged with a ban, and they, I think, came out and said that they were a three. So I agree. I wouldn't have tried to risk it too much, but I mean, if they would have just, you know, went middle of the road, maybe just got caught with their hand in the cookie jar.
I know Eli won't and he shouldn't release the sliders for integrity for each of the teams. What I wished he would have done would have shared for these coaches what they had put, or at the very least share the distribution, so we actually knew how many people, you know, were picking ones, twos, threes, etc. So to your point, Matt, yeah, Florida very well could have put a three, and I wouldn't even be that surprised, frankly. But it's just, yeah, to see their season over before it started. That Creighton season, I feel like that's the one that's going to stick out the most to us for all time, because yeah, they were a top five roster. I think they went undefeated in their conference too, didn't they?
Yeah, they were. I forget what their final record was, but it was something ridiculous. Like they were like, you know, 28-1 or something like that, and couldn't even go to the dance. So one other note too, that you thought, I was thinking the same thing about sharing the integrity sliders, but I think we should hold off on doing that until the season's over, or at least until recruiting's over, because I feel like people that say what their integrity is, and they're obviously in season recruiting. So I wouldn't give away too much information, just because you don't want somebody to maybe test you knowing that what your integrity slider is. You know, you might be more willing to go after a recruit, you know, which, I mean, if you're, you know, plugging them in on all the people anyway, then, you know, you're going to see if you get the crystal ball or not. But I would be in favor of releasing that stuff after, if not at the end of the season, at least after recruiting's over.
Matt, I completely agree with you, which is why I hoped you wouldn't say that, because I was hoping there would be coaches who would share their integrity sliders for the benefit of those of us who are actually interested in seeing where we, how it might affect our recruiting strategy. But yeah, I completely agree. It'd be great to just get, you know, just get a summary. It doesn't even have to be coach or team specific, but just a summary overall. And even there are ways potentially we could solicit those submissions from the Discord community.
I mean, I'm not scared. I'll tell everyone that I'm full at Monmouth. We are full development this year, and we are fully clean, and we are going to clean up on the transfer list and grab a stud power forward to add to the stud seven guys that we return on full development next year and really go for the national championship in season 11. So, I'm not afraid to tell anyone.
You can tell that Elite Eight appearance definitely didn't get to your head at all, you know?
The Elite Eight appearance, the multiple weeks ranked, second or third in the nation.
Number two.
Yeah, carrying Quinnipiac on my back as well, as they were a top five in along for the ride in the MAC. I really think that we, with our performance, unequivocally raise the Quinnipiac profile and the MAC profile so much that Iona is a notable team now on postseason band. So you're welcome to everyone.
Yeah, rising tides lift all boats, and Monmouth seems to be that tide. But we'll let this digest in terms of the postseason bands. But again, a recap for those who might have been skipping back and forth in this podcast recording: Army, Colorado State, Louisiana, Houston, SMU, Iona, Florida, and Oregon rounding it out. And we can talk more about these bands a little bit later as well, especially as we get into those conference breakdowns. So a bit of a scheduling breakdown. We got the invitationals that were listed in the guide today, but there's some, sorry about that. Just accidentally skipped the slide. We've got the Rucker Park Invitational, some great matchups with Villanova and Matt's very own Purdue. Illinois versus UConn, Wisconsin, Lafayette. And what's cool is pretty much all these coaches are active in Discord. So it should be a fun banter back and forth for that week when this all goes down. Venice Beach, some traditional West Coast powers here. Will Oregon be motivated against Kansas State after receiving their postseason ban? And then the Mountain West well represented with their two best teams, UNLV and Fresno. For the benefit of those listening on the podcast, it's Purdue versus Villanova, Illinois versus UConn, Wisconsin and Lafayette in the Rucker Park. Venice Beach, it's Washington versus UNLV, Oregon versus Kansas State, Fresno State versus Arizona, and those are all top 25 teams matching up.
Hey, yes. Sorry, Dave, I was going to jump in. Just a fun scheduling note. So Villanova and I originally scheduled a non-con game, and then I think he forgot or overbooked or whatever, and I was the odd game out. And so it was kind of fate, I guess, that Eli put us in the Rucker Park Invitational against each other. So we're going to end up playing after all.
Am I the only one, and just looking at these pairings, but also last year's pairings, I for some reason, I thought it was going to be like top three in the Northeast versus top three in the West. I didn't expect it to be sort of geographically aligned the way that it actually is with teams within. It seems a little bizarre to me the way this ended up going down. I'm not sure how he did it, but maybe someone's cracked the code on how these matchups get made.
Yeah, and it looks like there's five teams in the West.
No, there are five teams in the West. Okay. One in the Midwest.
That's, or the South, or whatever. I don't know.
I think the Southeast team is, where am I looking at this list? Is there a Southeast team on here?
Is Kansas State Southeast? Why aren't they Midwest?
I actually think Kansas State might, I think they're Midwest. But anyways, some great matchups.
Why are they going to Venice Beach?
Your guess is as good as mine. They're playing in an invitational with five other West region team. So maybe they
There's
are West.
No Southeast teams here.
Actually, you know what? Since I've got it on another monitor, I'm going to find out right now. Or Kansas
maybe
State.
Florida was supposed to be the Southeast team and they kicked them out on their postseason ban.
Maybe Kansas State is Midwest. So there's our answer. Yeah, I mean, it's being posted by Michigan State's coach. So there you go. Anyways, good matchups regardless, minus Oregon might being maybe demotivated to play. I've seen that happen in the past with Army squad when they've gotten banned. They've ended up having really bad years in the Patriot back when Lafayette was over there. Let's keep it moving. Scheduling breakdown for multi-tournament or multi-team events, excuse me. Don't have to go through all of these, but the links or there is the listings in the season guide. I believe I shared these in advance as well. There are just some great matchups in the MTEs. You know, all of these struck me on the screen as being uber competitive, especially the MGM, where you've got five teams that are sort of all right around each other. Same with Myrtle, where Kentucky's actually coming in as the third worst team in the field. I don't know if that's ever happened. And then some opportunities for banner wins like Penn versus Oregon, and then USF versus A&M and more. Got to do it because I'm biased, but I thought I'd include Bracket Busters as a slider because, hey, these wins do matter, and you have teams like Milwaukee who have a legit chance coming out of a smaller conference to fight for an at-large in games, and having games like this really help the resume. I'll do a preview of all these games in the Discord like I normally do the past few seasons, but a lot of great games to keep your eyes on. A lot of these teams either predicted to win their conference or, again, fight for at-large spots. Shameless plug for coaches who are listening. Please keep a spot open on your schedule in the non-conference if you want to participate in Bracket Busters and you think you'll have a top flight team. But again, for the podcast community who's going to listen to this recording, you've got matchups like Delaware State and UNLV. So that's a top 30 matchup. Fresno and Miami, that's a top 25 matchup. Loyola Marymount against our very own Monmouth coach, only differing by 0.02 rating points in terms of their rosters. And then you've got some of the historic traditional powers out of these mid-majors like Long Beach State facing Wagner, VMI and ODU, who surprisingly have never played each other, but until now. So that'll be a great one to watch. And then folks like Penn and then VCU, who's been, I believe VCU has been a participant every single year. Let's get into income by prestige level. So each level corresponds to the number of, I already mentioned that in terms of teams that are promoted and demoted. But one of the reasons I want to show some of these slides is to actually talk through predicting or at least looking at who's at risk or at or has an opportunity for promotion or demotion based on their performance this season. So again, you look at Prestige 1 and you've got Gonzaga in Florida, who seem like they're square to move down to Prestige 2, especially when you consider they've got only the 37th and 57th best rosters in the country, respectively. So they could be ripe to, or sorry, excuse me, one of those two teams could be ripe to get bumped out, given Butler's $5 million in income, almost $5 million in income ahead of Florida. Prestige 2, this will be really interesting to see who gets the top spot, given how good some of the top few teams are this season. At the bottom, you've got a good four or five teams, you know, that might be a risk. So to be clear too, if you're looking at the slide, these are all the teams in Prestige 2, since there are only a handful in Prestige 2 and Prestige 1. So basically what you're looking at here is the entire spectrum of the best teams who might get promoted and the worst teams who might actually fall into Prestige 3. So again, at the bottom of this list, you've got folks like Ole Miss, California, who is prime navigate. They've got a top 10 team, South Carolina. So it'll be really interesting to see folks here and even Kentucky and Texas, who are not only lower in this group, but they're not even supposed to have good teams this year. Prestige 3, this is uber competitive, including a new entrant like Delaware State, who seems like they're just continuing to be on the rise and have cracked the sim code in terms of prestige growth. But this is going to be a fight, and most of the teams in this group are also supposed to be good, so it'll make things even more interesting in Season 10. Again, there's a crowd at the top, and so we'll see how many are actually able to be promoted. But Virginia, ODU, Minnesota, Cincy, Wisconsin, Delaware State, Wake Forest are some of the top teams here. Prestige 4. So again, folks looking to make that jump up. You see Monmouth at the top of this list, and I can't remember if I made it or it was Florida State, or we've been talking about this whole San Diego deal all day on the Discord, but Monmouth is the team that is easily most deserving, I would argue, out of those two programs, and potentially having a gripe about Prestige 3. Again, I know I've got Monmouth on the call here, but again, you're right on this precipice of getting promoted, and I got to think that this season's probably when it happens.
Yeah, I think this year with our roster strength, right on the top 40 roster strength, we should cakewalk through the MAC again. We have a really challenging non-conference schedule, hosting Michigan State and Wisconsin, playing against Miami of Ohio. Wagner we got on our non-conference. We're going to try to get some payback for you against Loyola Marymount. So yeah, I think as long as we take care of business the way we almost always do, because we almost always take care of business in the MAC and have a good performance in the non-conference, and we don't, I didn't want to say it, but so we don't shit the bed in the tournament like previous years, and we have, you know, another strong sim March, I see no reason why. We were really close to getting the Prestige 3 bump up this year, and definitely disappointed with that. And, you know, losing my top two players early to the draft, it was a rough off season after such a great year. But I think when you're running this podcast to start next year, you'll see Monmouth with a 3 next to their Prestige. Not to be concerned with the number 2 or 3 that we had as a ranking last year.
Well, first things first, I need to do my own revenge against Loyola Marymount. I've got them in my first round game at the Maui Invitational. But yeah, if you look at this breakdown again, for the folks not listening or not watching on the Zoom or seeing the screen, I'll send this deck out to anybody who wants to view it after the fact, by the way. But Monmouth has the 42nd best roster in the nation. And if you look at the top teams in Prestige 4 right now, they are, outside of Loyola Marymount, they're head and shoulders better than everybody else. So I think there is a really strong chance that they'll get bumped up. And as we'll touch on a little bit later, we'll talk to the teams that might get bumped down as well, because Prestige 3 is very competitive. But there are some teams that are languishing there. And it looks like Monmouth, Loyola, maybe, you know, another team could sneak in there to get that Prestige 3 bump. So we'll talk to that later. Prestige 5, those on the precipice, UC Davis, Weber State, who seems like they're always knocking at the door. But if you look at this list, yeah, top 5, UC Davis, Weber State, Purdue, Fort Wayne, Milwaukee, Xavier, who's seemingly back from the dead. But it looks like a program like Weber State with another Big Sky championship and, you know, very close to upsetting my team actually in the tournament in S9. But you figure with another Big Sky championship, that might be what gets them into the Prestige 4 bracket, which would unlock just an embarrassment of riches for recruiting if you're out in the West and you're a program that gets to recruit against fellow Big Sky brethren. Prestige 6, we saw it in the Discord as well, I believe, with the coach of Kennesaw State sharing just how close he was to getting a promotion to Prestige 5. But Kennesaw State, Iowa State, Hampton, UC Riverside, Bryant, despite the fact that they have a coaching vacancy now with their coach going to Syracuse, those are the top teams in Prestige 6 that could be poised to make the jump. It seems based on the preseason roster ratings that Kennesaw, Iowa State, Bryant are a number of teams that are poised to make that jump, and then it gets a little more open after that. So here's, if you're following along on the Zoom, you'll see the slide pretty clearly, but if you're not on the podcast, I'll try to explain it. The worst Prestige 3 teams by income. So these are the teams that are absolutely poised to take yet another step down and get into Prestige 4. Boise State, Georgetown, St. John's. It is not looking very good for Dayton here, just given how poor their roster is this season and the fact that they are a bottom 5 team in Prestige 3. So a lot of intrigue here and some names that you wouldn't associate with with being on the outside looking in when it comes to Prestige 4 or Prestige 3. But again, like at Mississippi State, it was surprising to see, again, programs like St. John's and Georgetown. Georgetown, who's got a good roster this year, so they could avoid that demotion. But absolutely some intrigue, especially for coaches who are on this call. Worst Prestige 4 teams by income, so an even more important distinction, because that is when, if you drop to Prestige 5, you are in an entirely different recruiting pool, which is not nearly as deep, as coaches will attest, and can be a struggle at times and really a crapshoot in terms of recruits who are available. But the bottom five teams here are Vanderbilt, Wyoming, Tennessee, Drexel, Oregon State. Vanderbilt just got demoted to P4. And I don't see very much that leads me to believe they won't get demoted to P5. I know Michigan State's coach is on the call, as well as some other more analytically minded folks than I am. But again, as I referenced earlier, I don't think that team, let alone some of the other ones on here, I've seen the bottom yet. And then worst prestige five teams by income. This, I don't say that matters less. It's just those who are going to potentially get to P6, Oklahoma, UTEP, Marquette, Charleston, Oakland. So again, teams that, that may struggle to hit that bottom and start bouncing back. Those are a few teams that might be potential folks to hit that prestige 6 level. I think we have preseason bracketology next, which I'm really sad to show this slide in one regard, because Matt, the coach of Kennesaw State, has been a partner in crime doing these podcasts. I already don't love the sound of my own voice, so the fact that I've got to try to do this without him was already unfortunate for all the listeners out there and the folks who are on this Zoom. But Matt has been, I used the word staple earlier, Matt's been a staple of the Sim. And it's funny because I'm disappointed he's not here. He still had time, or still made time, excuse me, to create a bracketology. So his lowest level of effort, I think, is still far above and beyond 99% of the coaches out there when it comes to contributing and building this community. So thank you, Matt, for doing your preseason bracketology and giving us your picks. Again, I'll send this deck out after the call is over, so folks can just peruse at their own leisure. But you've got some interesting ones here. The top four seeds, according to the coach of Kennesaw, are Villanova, Kansas State, Purdue, Washington. You've got teams like Connecticut, UNLV, California, and Duke on that two line. And then even in terms of the first four, I think based on what I saw earlier, you've got a couple of teams who would have that play-in game, like VCU and Western Michigan. So VCU, who has seemingly lived on the bubble for most of the time that I've seen, other than that one year they had the two seed, they would be on the bubble in this scenario as well. And then also Milwaukee and Radford. Radford, who has its best team out of the A-10 in years, is actually going to be even better next year. But they've actually outperformed, as I'll talk about in the A-10 piece. They've outperformed their roster rating any number of times already. And here in this bracketology, Matt has them in the 12 playing game against Milwaukee.
Hey, Dave, one quick note too. Obviously this bracketology was released before the bands came out. So you have Oregon and Florida in this bracket. So there's two more spots that opened up for at-large teams.
That's right. Thank you for calling that out. That's part of the fun of these postseason bands, right? Is things can change with the drop of a hat, and clearly it has, given you've got two of the top 40 teams that will be ineligible for postseason play. But Matt, who obviously is not on this call, and is taking a slight, hopefully slight step back from the Sim. Hopefully he can give us his updated bracketology this weekend or in the coming week. And I don't know about the rest of the folks on the call or in the Sim, but it's one of the coolest things that I think we have. And so here's to Matt being able to carve out some time and keep this thing going, because it's definitely one of the funnest things that we get to experience. So let's get into conference breakdowns. I'll do a quick high level of the conferences at large and their how they stack rank, and then we can go into literally each conference and a bit of a preview. Again, for the coaches in the call, if you want to unmute and chime in on any and all this stuff, now's the time to interrupt me as often as you want and let me stop hearing my own voice. But at a very high level conference breakdown, we have the ACC as the best conference in the sim. Their average roster rating is 13.4, which is kind of outrageous. And there's really only one or two really poor teams out of that entire conference. So, excuse me, so a lot of depth. You get the Big Ten, Big East, Pac-12, SEC, Big 12, Mountain West, Atlantic 10, Missouri Valley, the MAC, the America East, the WCC. I'm not going to read all 20 plus conferences here, but just trust me when I say there, it's worth looking at this slide and seeing where your conference may or may not slot in. But it's also interesting, at least it was for me, to see that the ACC as by far the best conference in terms of its depth, but not anywhere close to the best team in the sim. Their highest rated team is a 15.25. So while we would expect potentially a good number of bids to come out of this conference, we very well may not see a Final Four championship contender when it's all said and done. So an interesting note there. All right, conference breakdowns. And again, thank you to Green Bay's coach for all this data up front. Again, it was immensely helpful and also just fun to see over the past week or so. So in the A-10, Lafayette coming off the first perfect season in conference A-10 history, finishing 16-0, but they lost in the second round of the conference tournament to VCU. St. Joe's is never far from the top, even though they had a really disappointing S-9. Radford, who I mentioned earlier, continues to ascend and has outperformed their preseason ranking in the A-10 two seasons in a row. So will they be able to do so again? That is a program that I don't even want to say is on the rise. That's one of the best coaching jobs that we've seen in the sim out there over the past nine seasons. They got a little bit screwed last season, actually. They got that 10 seed after an incredible year and then had to face Delaware State and their top 10 roster in the first round. But again, Radford, a program to keep your eyes on. St. Louis has a new coach, but the cupboard is hardly bare. And St. Louis did win a game in the tournament only a season ago. And as I mentioned, yeah, they just got that promotion as well. VCU also made a late season run. They took the A-10 tournament title only to get that heavyweight matchup with Wisconsin in the region of death. They're pretty loaded. They've only got a senior. Also, shout out to George Mason, who had a great run to get into the play-in game. They beat Kentucky and then shocked the sim world by beating Arizona, which essentially cleared the way for Mizzou. I speak a lot about this conference, obviously, because I'm in it, but I just think it's a really fun conference for folks to pay attention to, and actually a lot of great sim coaches here as well. On to the ACC. So as I mentioned, it's the strongest conference. Duke is back on the top perch and pretty locked in terms of upcoming seasons. I mentioned earlier the fact that I believe only have one senior, and so they could have a great pipeline of talent to flourish at Cameron Indoor. Louisville was stunned by a surprising early departure from one of his team members. UVA might have been as well, but I can't remember, but both are still in that sort of upper mid-tier of the conference. Notre Dame's languished in recent seasons, which pains me as an alum of the university. And who knows how long the Syracuse guy is actually going to stick around unless he lands the best available recruits. But he's in the ACC, so I guess we're going to hear more about it in the Discord moving forward. Wake looks for consecutive postseason berths after getting in as a 7 seed and then getting smoked by Loyola Marymount in the first round of the tournament in S9. But keep in mind, like I said, Wake Forest also only has a grand total of 0 seniors on their roster, as does Florida State. So a great conference to watch. And as I said, the deepest one by far. America East. This is the first time in a while we haven't seen Vermont firmly atop this list. Remember, they ran through the conference last season and we thought they'd be a really game 14 seed against Quinnipiac, but they ended up getting blown out. Stony Brook seems to have taken that proverbial leap. And this just seems more wide open than in years past. Again, we're accustomed to Vermont being at the top of this list consistently, and they are only the third best rated team in the conference going into S10. Going to the American, it's UConn and then everyone else. Very much in the running for a 1 seed, and they look head and shoulders above the best of the conference, which could mean a lot of victories in a row. South Florida seems to have taken a bit of a step back, but they have some youngsters and could be a season or two away from making a lot of noise. South Florida and Tulsa both don't have any seniors. I mentioned Tulsa earlier. They've got three juniors. They're all high loyalty, and we haven't heard from that team in a while. But again, for those at home, UConn is a 16.7. The second best team in this conference is Cincinnati at a 13.43. So everyone's definitely looking up at Storrs, Connecticut, and seeing how they can potentially try to get one off of them this upcoming conference season. Atlantic Sun, I could be wrong, but I think this is Kennesaw's first time as a preseason conference favorite, since their coach took over. They'll battle with Citadel. Recall Citadel gave Alabama a game in the tournament last year in the 1-16 matchup. They lost by 13, but it seemed like it was close. Here's to hoping for Coach Matt at Kennesaw State that he can get a bid in the NCAA tournament. I know he's on his road to glory, and we're pulling for him, at least the Lafayette coaches. Big Ten, another slugfest looming in this conference. Previous stalwart Michigan is back in the mix after seemingly taking a step back the past few seasons. Michigan State has a new head coach who's on this call after his incredible run of success at Green Bay. Indiana doesn't take that big a step back after their Final Four run. And the most surprising team on here, again, I mentioned them earlier, is just Iowa, who may be starting to risk that prestige two status. They are one of the bottom five teams in the Big Ten, which is just, again, bizarre to say out loud since they won the title only a couple of seasons ago. But we've seen great competitiveness out of this conference. Again, for the folks at home, Purdue, Illinois, Wisconsin, Michigan, Indiana are your top teams here, but any number of teams are going to compete for a postseason bid. Big 12, it didn't take long for Kansas State's coach to come in and build the program up even more. They've got the fourth best team in the nation and have no seniors, like I mentioned earlier. Kansas also only has one senior. This really seems like a two-horse race, but keep an eye out on Iowa State's head coach. I think if memory serves, he came from San Jose State, where he had a lot of success, but they've only got one senior as well. So that team is building back up slowly but surely. I guess the biggest questions in this conference are twofold. One, in the battle for Kansas, who's going to end up winning, Kansas or Kansas State? We've seen them near at the top of the list of the Big 12 for many seasons now. And then my second question is, who comes in and takes OSU's vacancy? Oklahoma State, who, again, we were sad to see Joe having to take a step away from his coaching duties. Who's going to come in and take that program? Because they are a high prestige team with a great pipeline. They might have a middling year this season, but that's a program folks have their eyes on. So who's going to take that spot? Big East. So the biggest question in the Big East will be similar to the American. Can anyone take a game off Villanova? We've seen some epic battles in this conference before, but this one doesn't look as good on paper, especially with Butler having taken a step back after their own Final Four run. But your top few teams here, again, Villanova as the best team in this sim at 17.09. Seton Hall is your second best team at 14.81. And then you've got Georgetown, Butler, St. John, Xavier. So again, it's Villanova and the rest. And we'll see if similar to last season, Villanova puts together an epic conference run the way they had only a season ago. Big Sky. So Weber State has only really opened up its gap on the rest of the conference since Idaho's coach left. I think it was maybe two or three seasons ago now. If I were in the West, I'd watch out for Weber because, as I mentioned, if they get a promotion to P4 in the future, that's going to be huge for them in taking that an even bigger leap. We already know they've got a great coach. This seems to be the season they've been building toward as a roster rating of 14.13, and their non-conference could help them if they do need an at-large. If you believe in experience, which I don't know for the folks who are listening or on the Zoom today, if you believe that experience is a factor, and the only reason I say it might be is because once upon a time, Eli did release data around youth experience and the like on the season guide. If you believe in experience, then you've got to think that Weber State getting tourney experience last year, almost taking out Lafayette in the first round and bringing back all those seniors is there something special brewing in Utah? There very well might be. So we'll see how that all shakes out for Weber State and Reston.
Just jumping in on the Big Sky, you have to look at Weber State and you have to see that this is the culmination this year. But then you have to worry about that program going forward, because all of those seniors will be going out the door. And if, you know, this is the true trials and tribulations of being at a successful mid-major or low major, what does Weber State do? Did they go clean to make sure that they can have this big run, or did they go dirty and risk the postseason ban, which luckily for them, we didn't see them on that slide earlier, but it'll be interesting to see if they can continue to keep it rolling in seasons to come on off of what should be their banner year this year, and then losing all those seniors.
Well, there is a sort of a third option, or at least, you know, following one of your comments, which is, do you go full clean on your banner year because you're leaving the program after the season? And, you know, there, if there is a correlation, or there was a correlation between, you know, high SOR or great performance, that if a job is open and you put your hat in the ring, you're able to get it. Did Weber State push all of its chips in the middle of the table going for a big year this year and not even worrying about, you know, filling the cupboard again because they know that after this year they're out? I don't know. I'm guessing for other mid-majors, I definitely have had to think about that before. Monmouth's coach, I don't know if you've had to think about that too. I know, I believe you're a Monmouth alum, so maybe not.
Never. I'm never leaving the MAC. I'm never leaving Monmouth. I'm going to continue to dominate the MAC and bring Monmouth to as high of heights as I possibly can in the MAC. But well, yeah, if you're really romanced by staying in your conference and with your current low to mid-major team, that year where you have all the seniors is really tough in the sim.
I guarantee, I agree with you. And I guarantee you that there are coaches in the sim in years past who have done what I suggested is a strategy, which is just go full clean so you don't even risk a postseason ban. Maybe you try to get a couple of recruits, but you know you got a foot out the door because you're eligible for the best jobs, assuming your team performs on the court. So we'll see how this shakes out. But I'm excited. I feel like the Big Sky has gotten more coverage on the podcast, on this podcast, than they ever have before. And there's a good reason why. They've got one of the best teams around. Onto the Big South. So Winthrop claimed the auto bid last season. We finally see Longwood at the top here in the preseason. I can't remember when that was last the case. This feels like it's going to be a three-horse race all year. UNC Asheville has had a history of success. In fact, they were the one seed last season. But yeah, at the top here, you got Longwood at 11.95, Winthrop, Templeton 3, UNC Asheville at 9.49. And I think we'll be inherently interested here, given Winthrop and Longwood's coaches are great active coaches in the sim. Big West, unsurprisingly, Long Beach and UC Davis are 1-2 here. They'll be battling it both on and off the court, actually, as both teams have three seniors. Advantage Long Beach, as they did get that promotion to P4 last season. Also, shout out to Eli, who's running that Hawaii program. This feels like this is the highest they've been rated in quite some time. They are the third highest rated team in the Big West. So it's 13.3 for Long Beach, 12.15 for UC Davis, and then 10.11 for Hawaii. Colonial, we're in for a treat again with Delaware State and Hofstra at the top of this list. This feels like Hofstra's make or break season since they've got four seniors on the roster. So to our conversation just a few seconds ago, that's a conundrum to say the least. And curious they didn't get the ban. So what did they put as their integrity slider? Delaware State's done a great job of building the program and having continuity. They didn't take that big a step back after last year's Elite Eight run, and they only have two seniors on the roster. So hats off to them for continuing to be successful in the sim. Conference USA, who would have ever thought Marshall would be atop this list as a P6, no less, but here we are. Old Dominion will be as big a threat as ever, but with only one senior on the roster, feels like next year is going to be the year that they'll be the team to beat, if they aren't already, given this has been their conference. To me, my biggest question is, are we going to get another epic conference tournament finale the way we have the past two seasons. Literally the last two seasons, there have been buzzer beaters for in the title games with bids on the line, with bid thieves vying for a spot in the Big Dance. So that's my biggest question, but interesting to see Marshall here at the top, and that'll be a fight with ODU. Onto the horizon, although I think I heard a coach on mute.
Yeah, I just want to jump in on this one too. Green Bay going to a new coach, and Green Bay, the top of their roster with their top players are very young. And then you look at Milwaukee, and he has built and built and built, and the top of his roster is more veteran. And both of those squads are really good. Both have a chance to be, make the tournament, whether it's at large or by winning the conference tournament. Two heavyweights, really, when you're looking at the horizon. And, you know, you can never count Wright State out, but, you know, they really are a peg or two behind a 1 and 1A, really, here. It's impressive, those two rosters.
So you might know, and I know Green Bay's coach, or sorry, what Michigan State's coach was on earlier. I don't think he's on anymore, but did Green Bay get assigned a new coach? Because I believe they went to CPU after their head coach went to Michigan State, right? Did they get assigned somebody?
Oh, I knew their coach left. I didn't. Let me check. Sorry.
I think they did, or somebody might have made mention of it. But to your point, whoever gets him inherits a loaded roster. They only have two seniors. And I'm curious to see what happens with Milwaukee. Remember, by the way, that Green Bay, as the sixth seed last year, only lost to the national championship runner-up Washington by 1 point a season ago when they played in the round of 32. So while we pull up that information about if they've got a head coach or not, again, great stuff happening in the horizon, and an interesting battle at the top with Green Bay and Milwaukee potentially. Onto the Ivy, Penn has taken control of this league. Hats off to their coach, who has a senior heavy team. And they got that promotion, I believe I mentioned, and they had the 14th seed last year. Their gap between themselves and Princeton has only gotten wider. Roster rating difference, 13.16 for Penn, 11.8 for Princeton. So definitely Penn's conference to lose in coming off a 16-0 season in conference only a year ago in S9. The moment at least one coach has been waiting for, a quick breakdown of the Metro Athletic. I'd say welcome back Iona a year after having the seventh seed in the conference and having this preseason second best team now. But like I just said earlier, and again, goes to show you how real time the stuff even is trying to put this podcast together. Iona's out. They have no shot at a postseason bid anymore. So Monmouth not only looms large, they are by far the team to beat, even after two unexpected defections from Monmouth's squad in the draft process, which I know their coach thinks was an Eli error versus an actual defection. But again, reminder to folks that Monmouth made that run to the Elite Eight after battling for a one seed all year and having a season high ranking of number 2 before losing the conference tourney. So while I thought this could have been a 2-bid league going into the podcast, seems like it might just be one and done, given Iona's disqualification.
Yeah, I think the 15-1 conference record probably jumps back to 16-0 this year. And Quinnipiac takes a step back after graduating a couple really good seniors. Monmouth, like I said, and you had said, we lost unexpectedly two guys early to the draft who would have been our top two players. But should be right there at the top of the MAC, and really happy that Iona has no chance to go dancing this year.
Yeah, I think your biggest concern is, at least longer term, is Quinnipiac getting that bump to Prestige 4, which is the same prestige level that you yourself are at. But obviously, they've got a ways to go to get to where the consistency of the program that you've developed. But yeah, it'll be interesting because, again, if you look at the ratings, and for folks not on the Zoom, Monmouth is at 14.13. And if you take out Iona, the second best team is Quinnipiac at 12.45. And there's only one other team that's even in the 12s. So yeah, it's your conference to win or lose. But you might have to be carrying the banner for the MAC in the postseason once again. On to the other MAC. It feels like ages ago that Miami was at the top of this conference, but not only are they back, they look like they're going to be back for years to come. They have no seniors in the roster. Recall in this conference that a season ago, we had Western Michigan as a 5 seed in the NCAA tournament, losing to Cal in the first round. And also a second bid out of this conference with Eastern Michigan getting a 9 seed, but also losing in the first round to Minnesota. I guess my point being there's a ton of pedigree in this conference. And we're also only, what, two seasons, removed from Bowling Green making the Final Four run. So this will be a great conference to follow as usual. Again, your top teams here, Miami of Ohio, Western Michigan, Eastern Michigan, Kent State, and then Bowling Green. The MEAC, I'm not going to spend much time here. This always seems to be a two-horse race, and indeed, it looks like it will be again. NC Central beat Coppin State in the conference championship last year. They will look to do so again. And hey, as a 15 seed, they did take UVA down to the wire only losing by 6. So if anything, we'll find out who's going to represent the MEAC when it comes to tourney time. The Missouri Valley. So a couple of things stand out here. One, welcome back, Illinois State. I can't wait to see how your season shakes out after what seemed to be a few seasons of rebuilding. Two, Drake seems to be getting some immediate dividends from their postseason ban last season, as they'll be in the thick of the race. Recall that Indiana State was one of the bid thieves last season. They beat Valpo, but both teams ended up busting out in the first round of the big dance. I think they both probably lost by 20 or so in the first round of their tournament games. But both teams also have 3 or more seniors to replace. So I was actually a little bit surprised that one of these teams wasn't banned for postseason play. I just figured that if it wasn't Valpo, one of those teams would have taken a swing at a recruiting big time, given the amount of seniors. But again, for those not on the Zoom, the top few teams here are Illinois State at 14.43, Valpo always near the top, 13.95, Drake, Indiana State, Northern Iowa round out the top 5. Mountain West, I swear it's because their coaches aren't as active in the Discord on a day-to-day basis, but I don't know if there's a more underappreciated conference. I mean, maybe if Syracuse's head coach was back in the MWC, we'd hear more about it because this conference is awesome and full of great teams. Utah State takes a step back after getting a 7 seed in the Big Dance. UNLV has made a Final Four and an Elite Eight in the past 2 seasons, and now they have their best team. Fresno State's got a top 25 team. New Mexico seems to be relevant again. So this is a conference that seems like it doesn't have as much depth as in past seasons. But again, just good stuff happening here. And I'm reading a few of my notes here. Abilene Christian is a team to watch out for. They've been recruiting well. They have no seniors. They actually have 1 junior on the roster. So you'll expect to see that name bump up this list in coming seasons. But again, the MWC, a great conference and one where UNLV and or Fresno could make a lot of noise come March. And I see Abilene Christian's coach commenting in the chat. Yeah, I mean, guys doing work. There's no question about it. Just look at the recruiting trail the past season or two. It's all out there. On to the Northeast Conference, there's Wagner and there's everyone else. A season after upsetting 3 seed Kansas, they almost did it again to 7 seed Michigan State. They lost by 6 as a 10 seed. And I think if memory serves, in season 9, Michigan State had like a top 5 roster. So Wagner has been competitive when they've made it to the field of 68. Also, their coach is a personal favorite of mine, as I've shared before. He's just been around for so long and has been a great contributor. So here's to hoping for a good run for them. They also only have 1 senior on the roster, so a promotion to P4 could be forthcoming. They are at a 12.81. And for context, Mount St. Mary's is the second best team in this conference, and they have a 10.64 rating. All right, let's get to the Ohio Valley Conference. SEMO lost to UNLV by a point in the 4-13 a year ago, and they could be back for more. Remember, this was a bid-stealing conference a season ago when SEMO was upset in a 1-8 matchup But somehow Simo still got an at-large and even avoided the playing game. I'm still kind of baffled by that decision. They didn't have a very impressive resume, but that's only one man's opinion. Now they might put all of that commentary to rest with a team that looks really formidable with four seniors in the roster. 14.3 is their roster rating. Second best team here, Murray State at 11.9. So this is similar to other conferences we've already discussed. CMOS to lose. Pac-12, this conference race should be as exciting as any other over the past number of years. Washington losing the title game brings back a ton and should be in the thick of the championship race yet again. You've got five teams from the top 25 in this conference, like I mentioned earlier. As I said earlier, too, it was a welcome back for Oregon, who we haven't heard from in a while, but I guess we heard from them all too quickly for all the wrong reasons since they have that ban. Also, looking at the breakdown of the Pac-12, I guess no one decided to take on that challenge at Colorado, as they have a 7.64 rating to round out the bottom of this conference. And then UCLA back in action after a Sweet 16 run and only two seniors on the roster. So whoever's running that program has done a heck of a job. Sim Bill Walden, I'm sure, approves of the work that you've been doing over the past few years. I think I might've missed one here. The Patriot, excuse me. Where are you, Patriot? Yeah, so it should be competitive. Sorry, my mouse is scrolling all over the place. Sorry about that. Yeah, for the Patriot, it should be competitive, but seeing this makes me a little sad since this was my former conference and it's been on decline for many seasons now. I think the last tournament win from the Patriot was when Lafayette beat Purdue in S5, but Holy Cross, the team to beat here, 10.99. They're in the Bracket Busters game as well. And a year removed from going 16-0 in conference, Boston University will be their stiffest competition. Now on to the Sun Belt. So this is, again, it was the first time in a while that we hadn't seen Louisiana Monroe or Georgia State at the top of this conference. But then we heard about Louisiana getting the ban. Louisiana, who preseason was number one in this conference with a 12.29, they are no longer eligible for postseason play. So now you're going to get Louisiana Monroe as the prohibitive favorite to win this conference at a 12.03. Georgia State over a full point below them with an average roster rating of 11. So we'll see if Louisiana Monroe can find their way to postseason play again and are done a massive favor by their in-state brethren, Louisiana, who got the banhammer. For the SoCon, this was the scene of the crime last season when chaos ensued at every point of the season, even before the season started. VMI got that postseason ban when they were the preseason favorite. Wofford got the regular season title and then lost in the first round of the conference tournament. Then Chattanooga got the auto bid for the second straight season by upsetting Liberty. But that meant that the SoCon was a two-bid league as Wofford got an at-large and then barely lost to UConn in the first round. So suffice to say, who the hell knows what's going to happen in the SoCon, but I think it's safe to say expect the unexpected. It almost doesn't even matter who the top three or four teams are here because you know they're going to finish in any which way order. But for prudence, I'll read it out. VMI is your best team in terms of rating at 13.24. Chattanooga 12.61, Wofford 11.64, Tennessee Tech 11.58, and then UNC Greensboro 10.69. We're getting closer to the end, I promise. On to the SEC, probably the deepest conference of all. The S9 champion Missouri will be the preseason favorite, but not without some stiff competition. I said this in the Discord, but remember it was a year ago that Texas A&M ended up being the one seed. Honestly, inexplicably, given they had like the fifth or sixth best roster in the conference, then they made a run to the Sweet 16, despite having, I think, a worse roster than both their round of 64 and 32 matchups. Alabama got a one seed a year ago and only has one senior this year. So their trip to sort of the middle of the pack might not last very long. And then honestly, it feels like any of the top seven teams can finish in any particular order, especially with Florida out of the mix as what they would have been the third best team. Now it's Missouri, Mississippi State. Mississippi A&M, Georgia, South Carolina, and even LSU rounding that out. The Southland, I won't spend much time here other than to say New Orleans is at the top, and with no seniors, they're probably going to stay there. They're already a good solid point over Colorado State, who we just saw got the ban as well. So maybe Colorado State will make up the gap on the recruiting trail, but New Orleans, absolutely the team to beat and seemingly has been for a very long time now. The Summit, this is going to be a down year overall for the Summit. It feels like last year they had two really good teams in San Jose State and South Dakota State, both who lost in the conference tourney, but both who also won games in the NIT, including South Dakota State getting to the Final Four of the NIT. There's just a lot of good history in this conference. It does look like they are going to take a step back, but hopefully some active coaches will make their way to the Summit, since there's a lot of good stuff here. From a roster rating perspective, South Dakota State's 12.38. North Dakota is at 12.05, Purdue Fort Wayne 11.81, San Jose State 10.7. Last three conferences, I think. The SWAC, it's Pine Bluff, Texas Southern. They're going to duke it out yet again. A year ago, Pine Bluff finished 15-1 in the conference. The roster ratings are pretty comparable at 10.55 for Pine Bluff, 10.1 for Texas Southern. So we'll see how they do against each other. But needless to say, one bid league, and it's most likely going to be one of those two teams. The WAC, so despite Rio Grande's best efforts, they have not been able to supplant New Mexico State as the best team in the WAC, and the gap seems to have gotten even a little bit bigger this year after both were really neck and neck last year. Rio Grande's only got one senior, though, so I think maybe next season or a season after that, is when they would likely eclipse New Mexico State. But whoever runs New Mexico State seemingly has always found their way to the tournament. So hats off to them. Last and certainly not least, the WCC, the West Coast Conference. What a season it was a year ago when there was a four-way battle at the top. Gonzaga was on the outside looking in, but they managed to get the auto bid in the conference tournament. They broke San Diego's hearts in the title game, and as we found out today, broke their hearts enough to have them leave the sim entirely. Then Loyola Marymount made it to the Sweet 16. They beat my team in the process before losing by three in the Sweet 16 to Washington. This was a three-bid league a year ago, and both BYU and Gonzaga lost by 1 point in the first round of their NCAA tournament games. But will we see Gonzaga get to the top again after this season with only one senior? Who knows? LMU and BYU both have three seniors, but this should be competitive. I mentioned much earlier in this podcast that Gonzaga is at risk of dropping to P2, so we'll see what their fate is for this season. But again, the roster ratings broken down, top few teams, Loyola Marymount at 14.15, BYU at 14.08, Gonzaga at 13.46, and you will see both Loyola Marymount and BYU in the Bracket Busters matchup. That brings us to an end of this podcast. It was painful for me to hear my voice this much, but I appreciate all the coaches who jumped on and gave me a break and allowed me to take a sip of a beer or seltzer, whatever was in front of me the past hour and a half or so. Thank you for tuning in. Hopefully you all got a kick out of just getting primed for this upcoming season. It always feels like the month between the end of the season and the start of the next one is a lot longer than it actually is, but I'm excited to see stuff come out this weekend, hit the recruiting trail. Hope everybody else is too. If you want to get a breakdown of your individual recruiting regions and some of the competition, some of the positions that you might be fighting with other teams for, let me know. I've got that broken down in a document. I will post this deck. So for those who were only able to listen in or are going to listen in after the fact, you'll be able to get this deck posted onto the Discord. So hopefully you'll get to enjoy that. Thanks again for bearing with me. Hopefully Matt and Joe, former co-hosts, are doing great and get a chance to listen a little bit as well. But thanks again to everybody who jumped on and participated. And yeah, we'll see you in the sim. Bye.
Bye.